Hey guys, another episode of the Liberty Bigly podcast coming at you. I just got done recording the actual Anarchy podcast with my wife Lizzie, and we reviewed the newest iteration of the Addams Family, which was like an animated film that came out last year. And even though it wasn't a great film, I feel like we still got a whole lot of good content out of it. So we appeared at Actual Anarchy. If you haven't followed them already, they are kind of like a sister show of mine, because I've known Robert and Daniel since I started podcasting, and we've been friends for about 3 or 4 years now. So I guess, I don't know if I started in 2015 or 2016. But we've been friends for that long, so check them out, actualanarchy.com. They do a movie review podcast from a libertarian angle, and I think it's a great show, so check them out. But we were talking about the Addams Family, and something came up about how conservatism is the new counterculture, and I think this is a concept that has been kind of floating around for quite some time, but I myself I'm like a super metalhead, and I've always kind of been that way my whole life, and I am a bit less now because I'm a dad and a professional, I guess you could say. But I used to wear like bullet belts and motorcycle jacket, and I had what I called my battle vest, which had a whole bunch of patches on it and studs, and I wore motorcycle boots, and I was really cool. Sarcasm, if you didn't pick up on that. But so I don't know exactly why I did it. I really love the music, and I was embracing that interest, I guess, and who I felt that I was at the time. But I have this concept of punks, and you could have it be said that it's interesting that punks think that they're the counterculture because they embrace and have every single idea and position that corporations and mainstream left politicians have, and that, you know, Hollywood has, and that all the academics have. And so it's just interesting that people think they're being punk or somehow being counterculture when they embrace all those positions. And it seems that the status quo now is very much progressive hipster, because the emo kids and the punks, and I feel like to a large degree the old grunge people, grew up and became these liberal boners. You know, they were always kind of liberal, but now they're just, you have this progression, especially of emo kids, because I grew up through this, and I feel like I have some authority on it, but of course this is all just anecdote. But I feel like in the 2000s, when I was in high school, towards the latter end of the 2000s, 2008 to 2011, you had emo kids. And when I was in middle school, the whole emo thing was really on fire. I feel like it was like from 2003 to 2007, maybe. And all of a sudden, and I think this happened with this band called Death Cab for Cutie, is when I really noticed it, is that all these emo kids, and for those of you who maybe aren't familiar, emo was like an evolution of the goth movement from the 80s and 90s, and it focused around like skateboarding culture, and at one point, punk music from like the 70s, like the Ramones, it turned into like a skate, like a pop punk kind of thing, like a skateboarding music that had more of a melody to it than like the Ramones or something like that. And it was a little bit more mainstream, but it was a bit more commercialized. But then you had it transform from skateboarding music to a mixture of punk rock and goth culture. And that's when you had bands like, I don't know, AFI or Blink 182 kind of went a little bit emo. But you would have like bands like AFI or Newfound Glory or The Used, or I'm just trying to think of all the emo looking skateboard punk bands. Green Day was kind of like this a little bit with the eyeliner. So you would wear black clothes and you'd have bangs that swooped over your eyes. It's a pretty long explanation for maybe most of you know what emo kids are. But they would be dark and they would think that there's something wrong with them and get obsessed with this idea that they're not getting enough attention, so there must be something wrong with them. And they would cut themselves, and a lot of them were, you know, just being moody teenagers. So at some point in time, those kids that I went to middle school and high school with, they got older. And when they got older, they grew out of the emo phase. And when they grew out of the emo phase, they moved to a different phase. And this phase was the hipster phase. And this is when hipster culture started blowing up, which I think was more so 2008 to 2011 or 12 is when this really hit. Because it's when those kids who were emo kids from like 2003 to 2007. Well, in 2008, 2009, or 2010 is when they were growing up more and turned into hipsters. And hipsters, I think it happened with Death Cab for Cutie. And I love Death Cab for Cutie personally, but they were a band that was the crossover band. This is my own pet theory, but they were the crossover band that emo kids picked up on. And that's what brought them over to being hipsters and liking, basically hipster culture is everything that you see now in corporate media and in these big companies. And a lot of hipsterism really adopted these progressive politics. And I mean, every single commercial that you have now, I think is a reflection of this hipster politics that really took over, or this hipster aesthetic, or this joke that millennials, oh, we like our avocado toast. Those aesthetic things, this quirky, kind of off the beaten path, eclectic, trendy, folksy, modern neo mix of all those elements is what I would describe a hipster to be. Hipster is someone who likes something unpopular, ironically. Maybe that's the best summation. But those people are the same people that were emo kids, emo middle school and high school kids during the 2000s. They grew up to be 20-something hipsters and early 30-something hipsters. And somewhere along that line, and I think it was, maybe it was when punk sold out in the 90s and the 2000s, somewhere along that line, this whole hipster thing got picked up by corporate and it sold out. And with the whole culture shift that happened towards the left, like in the universities, you know, in media, really, I don't know when the huge left turn happened. Maybe it was in the mid-2000s. But that's now it's the status quo. And I don't understand how people who found themselves to be quirky or punk or anti-establishment or heavy metal, almost every heavy metal band out there is full of people like the big, burly, bearded guys with long hair who write songs about disemboweling virgins and like stuff like that, mutilating people and chopping up their bodies and burning them in furnaces and whatnot. I don't understand how all of them can be progressives and be these puritanical progressives in a certain sense. It just makes no sense to me how the whole metal thing is about being an individual. And I actually took a history of heavy metal course as like a BS elective, like a slacker class in undergrad, paying massive inflated money for credits. And professor was talking about how heavy metal came about, talking about Black Sabbath, how heavy metal came about being a misunderstood, powerless youth. And heavy metal is all about power and, I don't know, like inspiration, something like that. I don't know how that can turn into, I guess Black Sabbath was kind of like saying about leftist politics at the time. Anti-war stuff was mostly on the left at that time. But so, anyways, I just marvel and gawk at the fact that people who are punks think that they're somehow anti-establishment because Johnny Rotten, the lead singer for the Sex Pistols, came out in support of Trump. And we've seen Ice Cube come out in support of Trump and 50 Cent complain about Joe Biden's tax brackets on Twitter and about how, oh, Trump hates black people, but I'm going to vote for Trump anyways because his tax brackets are so much less, which I don't know where people are getting the idea. I mean, it's from the corporate media that Donald Trump hates black people. I don't know if I've witnessed myself or known of any Trumpian policies which are actually anti-black people or any stance he's made about that. It just doesn't really make sense to me. So, yeah, well, I think this might be a good place as I need to wrap it up. Let me know if you have any thoughts about this. There's actually a way that you can leave me voicemails, as I think I've mentioned before in the Anchor app. But just press the button and leave me a voicemail, and I'll see if I can play it on the show. Tell me your thoughts, or if you have any other comments or anything that you think would be a good topic for me to cover. Let's do that. If you think there's a good topic for me to cover, why don't you hop on anchor.fm? There's a spot where you can leave me a voicemail. And I'll put it in the show and then I can kind of riff off of it. So, and like I said before, if you guys want to check out anchor.fm and start your own podcast, have it be like the pamphleteers of the American Revolution, put yourself in that vein, go to anchor.fm, start your show, let me know about it. I will. And send me a voicemail or something like that. I'll see if I can get you on this podcast or plug it, or we can do some kind of connection, something like that. So, thanks again, guys, for listening. Hope you had a good day, and put out another episode tomorrow. Peace.